CIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. For this segment of Ewing's Doings, I would like to introduce Richard Leathers, who is a talented photographer here in Brookings. Richard, thank you for agreeing to be on my show today to talk to me about your work and yourself.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, first, tell us where you lived before you came to Brookings and what made you choose this delightful place. In your bio, you mentioned that you first started taking photographs in California. Is that where you were born?
Yes, actually, I was born in Hollywood, California. The hospital was close to the Capitol Records building. The building is now a hotel, I believe, and yes, born in Hollywood, started my first few years of growing up in Englewood, California.
Uh-huh. So Hollywood began your stardom days.
Oh, yes, stardom.
What made you want to take photographs that have obviously become a major part of your world?
Well, when I was quite young, I was attracted to visual things. I didn't visualize numbers, of course, like some people can, but I did find that colors and different action things happening in my life were of interest to me. I read a lot of Look magazine when I was a child. My father or mother used to bring those magazines home, and I just constantly would look at the photos over and over and over again, and I just thought it was fascinating. So I was not a big reader. I was more of a picture look at her.
Like a visual.
Yeah, I had visual inclinations right from an early age.
Right. So in between that, what did you do? Because obviously that was quite a while ago.
Well, I didn't really get my first camera till I was an adult. I played with some brownies when I was with my parents, but I was away from my parents and a young adult before I got my first Pentax camera, film camera. I took that from California out to Missouri, where I lived for several years. And I took a lot of pictures out in farmland area. And actually, my first camera, the light meter went out on it quite early. And even with new fresh batteries, it didn't come back to life. So I had to do a lot of guessing, trying to understand Ansel Adams' approach to photography, which was a little bit over my head. So I just kept working at it.
He's the one that did all the lovely calendars of the places, didn't he?
Black and white, fantastic black and white. He developed a zone system, which many photographers still use today.
Zone
system, yes. It's the balancing of the lights and darks and contrasts and basically in black and white photography.
But you've had experience with a lot of different types of cameras. So how did you choose the one eventually that you thought would be right for you? Because obviously, if you've got a subject matter that changes, in other words, would you use a different camera for a landscape or say you were looking at someone and taking their picture close up?
Well, of course.
Does that make a difference with the lenses or something?
Yes. But you have to factor in cost. Lenses are quite expensive. My first camera, digital camera, was a little Kodak. digital camera. And I took a lot of pictures of that until the front opening just wouldn't open anymore, so I had to dispose of it. But I learned a lot about digital. Digital is really... It's just opened up a world of difference for so many people. People now with their smartphones and are able to take photographs, but digital has made it so if you do take a bad photograph, you can delete the photograph. You don't have to be stuck with it or wait for several weeks to have the film developed. So I think digital photography in so many ways has made it so much more available to people to express themselves visually with what they see.
Isn't that rather a detriment to a photographer, though, who spends his life and hopefully earns money from photography?
Are you talking about film?
Well,
photographers.
When I take pictures with my little camera, they're quite good. I mean, I can print photographs,
correct,
you know,
yes,
using a photograph paper.
It's much more competitive now.
Yes.
So it's one-third your skill, which one has to develop, and two-thirds of marketing yourself. If you're able to concentrate in that way, you can become quite successful, I believe, if you've developed the one-third that's technical skill and your approach to composition, and then two-thirds of marketing. And I think what kills off a lot of people from progressing with their photography is they're not motivated to be more self-promoting.
Right. I think that's
possible. A lot of work.
Yes.
And it involves a lot of focus on where you want to go with your work. The creativity can really take a hit, I think. That's just my opinion. Because sometimes you get so wrapped up in the business of trying to make a living or try to be famous that your artwork can decline.
The creativity
can start to become kind of mechanical.
Right. So in your world right now, you deal a lot with the Manly Art Center, and that becomes important to you because you can show your photography there?
Well, I joined Manly Arts because they had a photo club, Chitco Photographers Association, and anyone can join that. It's part of Manly Arts, and that's helped a lot. You're just people gathering together. There's a day class that meets every 2 weeks on Friday at 10 o'clock, and a Wednesday class at 6:30 that meets every 2 weeks. And they're staggered, so they don't, you can go to one in, each week, I think, if I'm correct. But when you're gathered with a bunch of other people, you're exposed to their compositional approach to photography, and also whether or not they know anything about photography. Sometimes you'll meet people that know a lot about photography. So that helped me a lot, and mostly I joined because I wanted to display some of my photographs,
of course,
framed photographs, on the wall instead of just having them at home. So that was my desire at the time, was to join Manly Arts, was to get my photography on their gallery wall. And that was about 3.5 years ago.
No. But also that enables you to be part of the whole Art Society of Brookings, because we do need to have people of all genres, don't we, really?
Yes, correct, because you can see something in someone's watercolor or their oil painting and say, oh, I like that visual approach. And you might go out and try to take a photograph that's somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, do you find that people buy, in general, more photography work than someone who's painted a picture, than an art itself?
No, I believe that people are more interested in a painting, oil or acrylic, watercolor. They're drawn to that because it's more of a personal expression. A lot of people still, I believe, look at a photograph as something that's interesting, but it's not captivating enough to pick it apart, I guess. In my mind, that's where composition is extremely important now, because anyone can take a photograph, and it looks pretty good, because the cameras now have sensors that are so acute and so good at balancing color that it refers, and also shadow and light, that composition has to have a lot to do with getting someone to really look at what you have hanging on a wall, we'll say, at Manly Arts. So that's pretty important to develop your approach to how you see the world.
I've been looking at a lot of the photography in various books, and there's one person, I can't remember the name, but she takes pictures of sort of a street and garbage cans and all kinds of odd, the wires on poles on a street.
Yes.
And I wonder, she's sort of famous. Now, I probably wouldn't buy one of those photographs to hang in my living room, but I wonder how would she, is it because she's on the web or in just famous from what, just because of her unusual subject matter?
Well, if you go into some businesses or corporate offices and you'll see these large photographs, a lot of times they are of an abstract approach, you know, maybe a water meter with, you know, on a wall or something, or something that represents perhaps maybe the corporation itself. Industrial photography is pretty important. There's a lot of businesses that like to have some way of displaying how they feel about a product or themselves or America, whatever, and they'll have certain photographs in corporate offices that display this type of artwork. And sometimes if it's really large and a big, large, open wall, it makes you look at it. It's just something, and the person you were talking about is who does takes pictures of strange things. To them, they're doing abstract art. In their mind, they're probably thinking abstractly about something, and so their photography is because they see it, they can make it happen, but they don't have the skill to take a brush and some other medium and apply it to a canvas.
But I've always thought that it's wonderful to be able to go to the archives of various places and see these photographs taken in the early 30s or before, or whenever the first camera was able to do that. I was looking at Lakeside, which is just up from Brookings, you know, next to Coos Bay, and I wanted a photograph of a 1930s era where the street was lined with these old cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I went onto the website and I couldn't find very much. So I went to Lakeside Library, and of course they have archived all the history of that particular place. So it's very important, isn't it, to have photographs that remind us of the past.
Well, documentation photography is an area that some people specialize in. That's all they do is document events. An example that I like is like sports photography is something that I like when I can get a chance to get myself in a position to do sports photography. But that is archiving history, especially if you take a picture of Babe Ruth pointing out to right field that's where he's going to hit a home run. I mean, that's something that will stay with people forever.
Yes.
Or other situations, other photographs that depict something that historically people will remember forever.
So if you were just beginning again in a career in photography, what would be your advice to young people? Where would you send them as far as the technique, or how would you instruct somebody to be a photographer?
Well, now we have so much information available on the internet.
Right.
And younger people tend to use the internet quite a bit. They use YouTube to look at videos. We have Flickr, Instagram, several others that are not popping to my head right away, but I would say that a young person that's interested in getting into photography would have to just get themselves a camera that's easily handle, easy to learn, and to focus on learning how to use the buttons and the dials on the camera. I know it sounds kind of mundane to, you know, for people to have to learn what they're going to work with, but that's just the way it is. You have to learn your tool. Once you learn your tool, by just taking pictures out in your backyard if you want to, and starting to learn how it works, then you can start eventually, gradually, you'll work into seeing things that you want to take a picture of, a good picture of. Mm-hmm. And you'll start to develop your compositional approach. But first you have to master your tool, like a shovel. You know, you can use the round, long, butted end, or you can use the shovel end to get the dirt moved. So it's just learning your tool. And once you learn your tool, then you can start developing your own personal technique. And another thing is, don't let somebody tell you you can't do something.
That's very good advice. Very good. Well, Richard, thank you very much for sharing your views and your expertise on photography. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. I hope I was able to convey photography as an art form, and also to realize that it's a very competitive market of creativity, and that just don't let people tell you you can't do something. Just continue on, and as time goes by, you'll become more comfortable, and you'll become better at it, and you'll be a lot happier with yourself, I believe. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. To listen to all of our podcasts, go to kciw.org and be informed, entertained, and interested in what's going on in our wonderful Brookings. Tell your friends about the up-to-the-minute news and views from local people. You too can be part of Curry Coast Community Radio by listening and contributing to KCIW. Please go to our website, kciw.org. That's kciw.org. And thank you for listening. This is Angela Ewing for Ewing's Doings.